as we get started, let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for a group of women coming from so many different places and so many different contexts that we get to be together for a week to just soak in the beauty and power of your word. Thank you. God, you know what's going on in the minds of each of us, what we've gone through just to get here tonight. And so I pray that you would settle our minds, settle our hearts, mine as well. Father, many of us are coming here weak and dependent, and that's good because you're faithful and your strength is made perfect in our weakness, and so we praise you for that. So as we spend some time this evening starting out talking just about a common occurrence for many of us in the area of loneliness, I pray that you would help me to use words that are encouraging and hopeful. And I ask that you would do with my words more than they deserve and more than I can imagine, because you are that glorious. And it's all because of Christ. We can pray anything. Amen. Okay, so if you look in your notes, we're doing a fun session, right? This is how we want to get you started. But I do think this. If you've been around biblical counseling circles much, you'll hear that you shouldn't use 100% words. By that I mean, you don't say, you always do that, or you never do that, because most likely that's not true, right? But I'm going to say, I think I can use 100% word here. I would imagine everyone is or has experienced loneliness to some degree, if we're honest. I have yet to meet man or woman who hasn't, if they're honest. So I think I'm just going to break one of the rules of biblical counseling, and I'm going to use the every 100% word. We all deal with it. Some seasons, some circumstances, definitely lonelier than others, for sure. But it does affect all of us. Kind of something that is important to me when I'm teaching on a topic is to make sure that we put out a working definition. Because again, we could define loneliness in so many ways. And we could think we're having a conversation and we're talking about two different things. So here's a definition that I read in a book by Deborah Howard. And anybody I mention, I may not always mention the name of their book while I'm talking. It's in the resource list at the end in the notes, so it's all there. I thought her definition was helpful, because we could define it probably a lot of ways. Here's what she says. Anything that sets us apart from others, which can cause us to feel disconnected and isolated. And when you hear that definition, who has not experienced that? Another resource, and I thought it was interesting to think about, distinguished it from aloneness, which is just neutral. So I had an hour alone, okay, aloneness, or solitude, which is a positive thing. The negative experience is loneliness of the very same thing. That's an aloneness that doesn't just feel like solitude, but I'm disconnected, I'm isolated. And this may sound silly to you, but think about, have you ever wondered why that's experienced as negative? Like, why is it universal that when you hear disconnected and isolated, lonely, why is that negative? It is, but why? I think it implies it's because we weren't designed that way. This is something wrong. So let's think about even before sin. Steve DeWitt also wrote a book, and I thought this quote was helpful. We were made in the likeness of a relational, communicating, and triune God. Absolutely. We were designed for relational fulfillment vertically with God and horizontally with other humans. He goes on to say, God assesses Adam's aloneness as an insufficient divine reflection. His creation of Eve completes the social reflection of God's triunity. Like God, humanity is now a plurality of equals. Adam is male and Eve is female. And I do believe if you had asked Adam and Eve before the fall, are you ever lonely? Like, I know you have each other, but like, do you ever think, I wish there was somebody else? I believe they would look at you and say, what does the word mean? I don't believe they had a context for that. They were walking with their maker, designed to be in relation with God, and they were in relation with each other. So our relationships are intended to be a shadow of the fellowship within the Godhead. What a beautiful thing. Ideally, you see Adam and Eve in Genesis 2, we were designed to live naked and not ashamed. Think about what that would mean. Fully known, naked, exposed, fully known, and fully loved. No fear. That's how we were designed. We know this. We were also ideally designed for life, not death. Death came as a result of the fall, right? Sin changed all of that. Just as we obviously know there is death, now there is loneliness. DeWitt says, distance from God and awkward nakedness before others point to a time when we felt neither in the Garden of Eden. We long to be in that garden again without hiding or shame. So it's not a bad longing. It's not a bad desire. But it does help us understand why we feel it so acutely. All of us. And while we're living in that reality now, for those who are in Christ, we have the down payment of the Holy Spirit that's a sure hope that one day death and loneliness will be gone forever. Well, if I understand that loneliness is a result of the fall, that's got a variety of what I think are very practical implications that honestly, I don't think we actually typically live by. Because one is, our primary focus shouldn't be to eliminate it. You should expect it. Think about it. Do you say, because we were designed for life, I think I'm going to try to find a way to live and there'll be no death? No. We expect death this side of the fall. Well, because we're on this side of the fall, we don't say, I'm going to eliminate loneliness. We say, I'm going to expect it. I think that's already way different than most of us view loneliness. DeWitt says loneliness is what image bearers feel when something or someone we were made to live for is absent. Now, God is not completely absent for those who are in Christ, but we are not in his presence, walking with him in the cool of the garden as they were. And our relationships with each other are not all that God intended them to be because of sin. So, should we try to minimize it? Sure. Just like we steward our bodies, even though we know death is coming. So sure, steward your body. Sure. Look for ways to deal with the loneliness. Try to develop flourishing relationships. Absolutely. But let's not be shocked by loneliness. And let's not see it, because here's what I hear a lot. Here's the implication. Either they're doing something wrong or I'm doing something wrong. What's wrong with me or what's wrong with you that I'm so lonely? The church is not the family I thought it would be. Or I guess it's just me. We don't have to do either of those things. Loneliness just affects all of us. Who all's been affected by death because of the fall? Everyone? Everyone?